There's a small part in the gospel in the passage that we don't hear today when Jesus exorcises the demon out of this person. This person is mute. The gospel says the crowds are amazed. Interesting word, not filled with faith, but amazed. Whispers abound in the crowd, and the dissenters cannot deny the miracle they just witnessed. Some try to dismiss Jesus as a pagan sorcerer and a follower of the demon god Beelzebul, also known as the Lord of Flies or the Lord of Dung. Or even more clearly for us, Satan. Others demand proof and heavenly signs, accusing Jesus of using evil powers to cast out evil. But their argument is a house of cards that our Lord can see right through. First of all, the ruler of their world, Satan, would not try to destroy himself with senseless infighting. Satan does not fight Satan. It simply just does not make sense. Secondly, if Jesus cast out demons with pagan powers, how do their leaders exorcise demons? By whose authority do they use? But thirdly, and most important of all, Satan's kingdom is being conquered as demons flee before our Lord Jesus, empowered with the Holy Spirit, who is standing right there among them. The kingdom of God has begun, and we hear the parable of the strong man, in which Jesus draws upon the image of two rival kings. So, I would ask, who are these strong men? The first is the robber king Satan, confident in his worldly palace and in the hearts of men. He mocks the cross and all hardships. He has heavy armor, racks of sharp swords, wealth, and power. His storehouses overflow, stocked with abundant food and drink. He plunders the poor and enslaves many. The second king is the Lord, who, with the victory of the cross, shatters the defenses of Satan, sows justice, frees prisoners, and divides the spoils. He is our stronghold. Baldwin, Archbishop of Canterbury from the 12th century, draws this beautiful image for us. He writes, reminiscent of St. Paul. When the word of God is spoken, its message pierces the heart like a two-edged sword or a strong man's sharp arrows, like nails driven deep, penetrating us fully. It is stronger than courage or power, sharper than any shrewdness, and keener than all human wisdom. Through Jesus, demons are cast aside, and death has no power. But Jesus says we must always remain with him and not become over-content. The Lord warns us not to remain neutral or idle in this battle against Satan. He gives us a choice. We are with God or we're against him. It sounds harsh, even as I say it, and as we hear it, but it's God's truth, and we must spread the gospel and strive for a life in holiness. I'm preaching to myself here. It's hard. We must pray, accept God's grace, and we must have faith, always. Choosing sides sounds easy, but living on one side can be easier said than done. And the Lord knows it's difficult. After all, he did promise us the cross and salvation, but not always did he promise us worldly victories. So what do we do? Well, we are in this place now, for one. Augustine tells us the waters of baptism washed us clean of evil spirits. But we must allow God to inhabit that cleanliness and emptiness of space with the richness of his kingdom. Otherwise, we will fill that spot with worldly things that always leave us wanting so much more. Only God can fill a God-shaped void that God created in us. We have what we need here. We must look back to the sacraments for his loving mercy, grace, and strength. Reconciliation, for one, as it heals our wounds, and God's infinite love and forgiveness never fails. And we always look forward to the table of sacrifice, the Eucharist. Then we have the armor to guard our souls against being plundered. We can achieve nothing apart from the Lord Jesus. He is our hope and the source of what is all good. Reflect today and make a choice to enter into a deeper union with the strong man who has overcome the world. Today we celebrate the memorial of Our Lady of the Rosary, formerly known as Our Lady of Victory, and I can't think of a better gospel to go together with this memorial. The Lord provides us with divine weapons more effective than anything we possess, and he gave us his mother, who bestowed on us the divine gift of the Holy Rosary. In 1571, the Turkish fleet had just sacked the island of Cyprus, desecrated its churches, killed many, and threatened Rome. Saint Pope Pius V united a church torn apart by the Protestant Reformation, and under the papal banner, he formed a fleet to defend Rome and all of Christianity. Saint Pius V declared, "All Christians unite and pray the Rosary," and he marched through the streets of Rome and the churches, begging and pleading for the Blessed Virgin's intercession. The ship's crews also prayed, and they had masses on board all their ships as they sailed to meet an aggressor who had done nothing but hand them defeat after defeat. An outnumbered papal fleet won decisively at the Battle of Lepanto, with the help of Christian slave rowers on Turkish ships revolting and attacking their Turkish captors. Saint Pope Pius V is said to have risen from prayer and went to his bedroom window, knowing the Christian fleet had won. He thanked God and the Blessed Virgin Mary for her intercession and healing consolation. He declared October 7th as Our Lady of Victory. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord.